Chapter 10. To any newer love I might have found, but show her not to me. The woman and the rye, why do you stand in the dripping rye, cold-lipped, unconscious, wet to the knee, when there are firesides near? Said I told him I wished him dead, said she. Yea, cried it in my haste to one whom I had loved, whom I well loved still, and die he did. And I hate the sun, and stand here lonely, aching, chill, stand waiting, waiting under skies that lower approach, the while I see the rooks sheer off to where he lies wrapped in a piece withheld from me. The cheval glass, why do you harbor that great cheval glass filling up your narrow room? You never preen or plume, or look in a week at your full-length figure picture of bachelor gloom. Well, when I dwelt in ancient England, renting the valley farm, thoughtless of all art harm, I used to gaze at the parson's daughter, a creature of nameless charm. Thither there came a lover and won her, carried her off from my view. Oh, it was then I knew misery of a cast undreamt of more than, indeed, my due. Then far rumors of her ill usage came, like a chilling breath when a man languisheth, followed by news that her mind lost balance, and, in a space, of her death. Soon sank her father, and next was the auction everything to be sold. Mid things new and old stood this glass in her former chamber, long in her use, I was told. Well, I awaited the sale and bought it. There by my bed it stands, and as the dawn expands often I see her pale-faced form there brushing her hair's bright bands. There too, at pallid midnight moments quick she will come to my call, smile from the frame withal ponderingly, as she used to regard me passing her father's wall. So that it was for its revelations I brought it oversea, and drag it about with me. Anon I shall break it, and bury its fragments, where my grave is to be. The reenactment, between the folding sea downs, and the gloom of a willful wintry nightfall, when the boom of the ocean, like a hammering in a hollow tomb, throbbed up the copse-clothed valley from the shore to the chamber where I darkled, sunk and sore with gray ponderings, why my loved one had not come before, to salute me in the dwelling, that of late I had hired to waste a while in vague of date, quaint, and remote wherein I now expectant sate. On the solitude, unsignaled, broke a man who, in air as if at home there, seemed to scan every fire-flecked nook of the apartment span by span. A stranger's and no lover's eyes were these, eyes of a man who measures what he sees but vaguely, as if wrapped in filmy fantasies. Yea, his bearing was so absent as he stood, it bespoke a chord so plaintive in his mood, that soon I judged he would not wrong my quietude. H. The supper is just ready, then he said, and E. The years long binned Madeira flashes red. There was no wine, no food, no supper table spread. Who will forgive my coming, lady fair? I see you, as at that time rising there, the self-same curious querying in your eyes and air. Et no. How so? You wear not the same gown, your locks show woeful difference, are not brown. What, is it not as when I hither came from town? And ye the place. But you see, mother, can it be? What's this that time is doing unto me? You dwell here, unknown woman? Whereabouts, then, is she? And ye the house things are much shifted. Put them where they stood on this night's fellow. Shift her chair. Here was the couch. And the piano should be there. I indulged him, verily nerve-strained being alone, and I moved the things as bidden, one by one, and feigned to push the old piano where he had shown. Ah, now I can see her. Stand aside. Don't thrust her from the table where, meek-eyed, she makes attempt with matron manners to preside. He serves me. Now she rises, goes to play. But you obstruct her, fill her with dismay, and embarrassed, scared, she vanishes away. And, as 'twere useless longer to persist, he sighed, and sought the entry ere I wist, and retreated, disappearing soundless in the mist. That here some mighty passion once had burned, which still the walls engisted, I discerned, and that by its strong spell mine might be overturned. I sat depressed. Till, later, my love came, But something in the chamber dimmed our flame, an emanation, making our due words fall tame, as if the intenser drama shown me there, of what the walls had witnessed filled the air, and left no room for later passion anywhere. So came it, that our fervors did quite fail of future consummation being made quail by the weird witchery of the parlor's hidden tale, which I, as years passed, faintly learned to trace, one of sad love, born full-winged in that place, where the predestined sorrowers first stood face to face. And as that month of winter circles round, and the evening of the day grows embrined, I am conscious of those presences, and sit spellbound. There, often lone, forsaken queries breed within me, whether a phantom had my heed on that strange night, or was it some wrecked heart indeed. Her secret, that love's dull smart distressed my heart he shrewdly learned to see, but that I was in love with a dead man never suspected he. He searched for the trace of a pictured face, he watched each missive come, and a note, that seemed like a love line made him look frozen and glum. He dogged my feet to the city street, he followed me to the sea, but not to the neighboring churchyard did he dream of following me. She charged me with having said this and that to another woman long years before, in the very parlor where we sat on a night, when the endless pour of rain on the roof, and the road below bent the spring of the spirit more and more. So charged she me. And the cupid's bow of her mouth was hard, and her eyes, and her face, and her white forefinger lifted slow. Had she done it gently, or shown a trace, that not too curiously would she view a folly past ere her reign had place, a kiss might have ended it. But I knew from the fall of each word, and the pause between, that the curtain would drop upon us 2 year long, in our play of slave and queen. The newcomer's wife, he paused on the sill of a door ajar that screened a lively liquor bar, for the name had reached him through the door of her he had married the week before. We called her the hack of the parade, but she was discreet in the games she played. If slightly worn, she's pretty yet, and gossips, after all, forget. And he knows nothing of her past. I am glad the girl's in luck at last. Such ones, though stale to native eyes, newcomers snatch at as a prize. Yes, being a stranger he sees her blend of all that's fresh and innocent, nor dreams how many a love campaigness he had enjoyed before his reign. That night there was the splash of a fall over the slimy harbor wall. They searched, and at the deepest place found him with crabs upon his face. A conversation at dawn. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.